Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, it's cloudy here in Atlantic and 74 degrees. Again, we're looking for showers and thunderstorms today and a high of 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Well, Governor Terry Branstad was notified late Thursday by Federal Emergency Management Agency Director Craig Fugate that Iowa's request for activation of the Federal Individual Assistance Program for Fremont, Harrison, Monona, Pottawatomie, and Woodbury counties has been denied. Branstad said, quote, "Obviously, I'm disappointed for the citizens in the impacted counties that my request was denied." However, he says he intends to appeal the issue with FEMA based on the simple facts that the flood is still occurring, and as the waters slowly recede, new damages will be revealed, which will have further impacts to Iowans already fighting through this unprecedented flooding event. The appeal of the decision by FEMA will be coordinated by the Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division. HSEMD Administrator Brigadier General Derek Hill indicated that the division will be working closely with the local emergency management agencies to determine additional damages and impacts caused by the ongoing flood. Hill said it is incredibly important to the citizens along the Missouri River that we are successful in the appeal. The aid provided in the individual assistance program is a major piece of the puzzle that's needed to help Iowans recover from the flood. The FEMA Individual Assistance Program is made available to homeowners, renters, and businesses and can include grants and low-interest loans to help pay for temporary housing, home repairs, and other disaster-related expenses that are not covered by insurance or other aid programs. News time is 9:02.
Had an accident, but you're afraid to turn in a claim because your rates will go up? This is Brent Wollenhouse from United Group Insurance. With Accident Forgiveness, a new upgrade from Allied Insurance, you don't have to worry about your rates going up. Allied will forgive an accident, even if it's your fault, once every 3 years. Not only is it forgiven, it is forgotten. Have questions? Call me, your Allied agent in Griswold. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
It's not my fault. How many times have you heard it as you dole out the punishment? Ever felt that yourself? Like when you get pulled over and receive a ticket on your way to an important meeting across town? Or you're running late? Or you just meet a cop having a bad day? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance with some good news. It's minor violation forgiveness, part of the On Your Side rewards from Allied Insurance. Mistakes happen. Wouldn't it be great to get a break when you really need it? Call me today, your Allied Insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust.
Elsewhere in western and northwest Iowa news, two men have been injured in a tough truck competition at the Woodbury County Fair in Mobile. Authorities say the men were in a truck that flew off a jump and landed on its nose. It took about 20 minutes to free the two men after the accident last night. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Office says both men were conscious and breathing. One of the men was flown to a hospital. The other man was taken by ambulance. Their names and reports on their conditions are not available. A North Dakota woman was injured Thursday evening when the motorcycle she was riding on went out of control and crashed into a ditch. The accident happened at around 6:10 p.m. in Monona County on I-29 southbound. The Iowa State Patrol's 62-year-old Terry Lundberg of West Hope, North Dakota, was injured when a 1999 Honda motorcycle driven by her 63-year-old husband, Lee, went out of control after the rear tire went flat. The cycle and a small two-wheeled trailer it was pulling left the road and entered the west ditch where it overturned. Lundberg was transported to Burgess Memorial Hospital in Ottawa. A report on her condition is not available. Authorities in Pottawatomie County say a double fatal crash July 17th just north of Council Bluffs may have been caused by the driver texting a message and not paying attention to the road. The driver of the vehicle, 19-year-old Elizabeth Chadwick of Rural Crescent, and her passenger, 18-year-old Jessica Weinfurtner of Council Bluffs, died in that late-night crash with another vehicle. An investigation by the sheriff's office showed that Chadwick, who was driving a 2003 Mitsubishi Eclipse, was southbound on Old Highway Lincoln Highway when her car drifted off the road to the right. When Chadwick overcorrected, the car entered the northbound lane and collided with an airport shuttle van. That accident happened around 11:15 p.m. and both women died at the scene. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker said Chadwick had placed a phone call at 11:10 p.m. and then sent a text message at 11:11. He says it appears she was texting around the time the accident occurred. Danker acknowledges they can't prove that, but said there was nothing else to indicate why the car dropped off the shoulder and on the passenger side of the road. Authorities found alcohol in the car at the crash scene, but a toxicology report showed alcohol was not a factor. The report also showed trace amounts of marijuana were in the systems of both women. A Red Oak man was arrested Thursday on a charge of breach of peace. Red Oak police report 18-year-old Tyler L. Gene Coddington was arrested Thursday evening at Dutton Park. His bond was set at $300. Police say they're searching for two men who tried to lure two children into their van in Sioux City. An 11-year-old girl and her 9-year-old brother were approached Wednesday afternoon. The kids say one of the men told them their mother was sick and that they should go with them because he was a friend of the family. The kids didn't believe that, and they didn't get in the vehicle either. Police say the men then tried to grab the pair, but the children got away on their bicycles and went to their grandparents' home. Sioux City police say stranger abductions are rare in that community. State Emergency Management Division officials say the water being released at the Missouri River from the Gavin's Point Dam will be gradually reduced beginning on August the 17th. The chief of the division's Readiness Bureau, Joyce Flynn, says sonar soundings are scheduled to begin before the water goes down to try and identify the damage.
This would be bases of towers or bridge abutments, things like that.
The U.S. Geological Survey, or USGS, is helping with the surroundings, and it will help them be prepared to start repairs once they can actually get to the structures.
We are working to identify a list of critical infrastructure, and then the USGS, in conjunction with some other federal partners, the counties, will begin the work on doing those soundings to determine where there might be areas of concern while the water is gradually coming down.
Flynn says the water releases will drop from 150,000 cubic feet per second now to 90,000 CFPS by the end of August. Officials of the Iowa Air National Guard reports the Guard and various active duty units will participate in a joint training event, Operation Badger Denial, on selected days in August through December 2011 over parts of western and northwest Iowa. The exercise will begin on August the 9th. Guard spokesman Colonel Greg Hapgood said Iowa's participation in overseas contingency operations requires joint reconnaissance and combat support missions. Those types of missions and certain close air support operations require lower altitudes not available in current Iowa military operating areas. To experience realistic training and in order to support multifaceted overseas combat missions, the joint exercise will include the establishment of a temporary operating area situated in northwest Iowa, where military aircraft will operate at an altitude of approximately 8,000 feet and may extend as low as 2,500 feet. A number of urban ground teams will commence the exercise in and around the military operating area, including in the rural and urban areas. Iowa Air Guard F-16 fighters will fly over northwest Iowa as part of their routine training, and a KC-135 tanker will refuel the fighters at an altitude above 20,000 feet. At no time will anything be dropped from the aircraft, and no hazardous activities will take place. The temporary military operating area will extend west from Carroll to Charter Oak, and then north to Sanborn, and then east to Whittemore, and then southwest to Carroll. Given the temporary operating altitudes during Badger Denial, aircraft may be visible at lower altitudes and audible as late as 9 p.m. through the temporary operating area. The Iowa Board of Regents Thursday approved steps to rebuild the Iowa Braille and Sightseeing School in Benton after a powerful windstorm last month damaged its buildings. During a meeting at the University of Northern Iowa, the Regents voted to give the school the power to waive several building and purchasing processes to speed its recovery from the July 11th storm. Superintendent Patrick Clancy said the storm caused significant damage to Old Main, which was originally constructed in 1865 and lost its roof. He says a cottage that AmeriCorps leases for dormitory space also sustained damage, and about dozens of mature trees were shredded, which will permanently change the landscape of the campus. The school provides educational services to students who are blind or visually impaired. The Board of Regents Thursday also gave a 4% salary increase to the presidents of Iowa's three public universities. They approved the raises for outgoing Iowa State University President Gregory Joffre, University of Iowa President Sally Mason, and University of Northern Iowa President Ben Allen. Mason and Allen were also awarded deferred compensation packages, the details of which were not immediately clear. Regents President Craig Lang said the board considered a number of factors in deciding to award the raises after spending Wednesday behind closed doors reviewing their performance. The board voted 9-0 to approve them without discussion during a meeting at the University of Northern Iowa. The Regents also gave the board's executive director, Robert Donnelly, a 4% raise plus a $5,000 incentive bonus. The funeral announcements are on the way next.
This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance. How many times has your insurance agent offered you a $100 savings right off the bat?
How does that work?
Glad you asked. When you sign up for Vanishing Deductible from Allied Insurance, you'll get a $100 credit on your deductible immediately. Then, every year you go without having a claim, we'll take another $100 off, up to $500 total. So, if you have a $500 deductible, at the end of 5 years, your deductible is zero, and it stays that way until you have a claim.
But then what?
Again, I'm glad you ask. After the first claim, if you happen to have another claim, your deductible will be at the original $500. But every year you go without another claim, your deductible starts vanishing again by $100 per year, up to $500. So if you're paying higher premiums in order to carry a smaller deductible, now would be a good time to call me. I'll show you this and many other ways you might save with a policy from Allied Insurance. Because, like Allied Insurance, I'm on your side. United Group Insurance. People you know. People you trust.
And in the funeral announcements, 88-year-old Mary Olive Swanson of Stewart died Tuesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Mary Swanson will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. 90-year-old Irma Blakely of Cranston, Rhode Island, died Sunday. Graveside services for Irma Blakely will be today at 11 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 81-year-old Patricia Ann Pat Ursham Keating of Casey died Sunday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Patricia Keating will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. 69-year-old James George Kearns of Stewart died Friday, or rather last Friday, at the VA hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A gathering of friends and family and visitation for James Kearns will be held Saturday from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. 82-year-old Bernard Harold Gittens of Stewart died Wednesday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Bernard Gittens will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. 92-year-old Wilma Billy McGill Inhoff of Woodbine and formerly of Atlantic died Sunday at the Community Memorial Hospital in Missouri Valley. Funeral services for Wilma Billy Inhoff will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Fouts Funeral Home in Woodbine. 76-year-old David Sears of Atlantic and formerly of Des Moines died today at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is assisting the family. And 85-year-old Lois Funk of Bridgewater died this morning at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Lois Funk are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Our news was brought to you by United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.